TikTok.
For TikTok.
From Marketplace. I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. The latest flare-up between the U.S. and China is TikTok, again, the video sharing app. President Trump threatened to ban the app Friday. Some policymakers have said TikTok poses a national security risk because it could share U.S. user data with the Chinese government, something TikTok has repeatedly denied. TikTok's parent company in China, ByteDance, says despite a possible ban in the U.S., it remains committed to its global audience. For more, here's Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai.
TikTok's owner ByteDance is headquartered in Beijing, and because of this, U.S. officials are worried that ByteDance could let the Communist Party of China access the data TikTok collects from American users, an allegation denied by ByteDance and the Chinese government. Over the weekend, ByteDance released a statement on Chinese social media, saying the firm faces all kinds of, quote, complex and unimaginable difficulties, alluding to the U.S.-China trade tension plus cultural differences. ByteDance also accuses Facebook, its competitor in overseas markets, of smear and plagiarism, no doubt referring to Facebook's release of a TikTok-like product called Instagram Reels. A memo from ByteDance's CEO to its staff leaked to the Chinese tech news site PingWest says TikTok is committed to serve American users and has no choice but to sell its U.S. operations. Microsoft confirms it is now currently in talks to take over TikTok's operations in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. A few comments on the Chinese web say U.S. action against TikTok is fitting since China blocks U.S. tech giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
Disney reports quarterly earnings this week. Like everyone else, it's had its ups and downs in the pandemic. It had to close down theme parks and dock cruise ships early on. Now it's negotiating the reopening of some parks around the world. And on the plus side, it has Disney Plus. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
Much of what Disney does involves density, packing people into theme parks, movie theaters, cruises. Lloyd Greif is CEO of an investment bank in Los Angeles.
So if there was ever a poster child for being vulnerable to COVID-19 in terms of your business model, Disney is it.
He says Disney was flying high just 6 months ago. Now things are very different.
So Disney has to, I think, be rethinking the model in this environment.
And it's starting to capitalize more on people staying at home. Disney purchased 21st Century Fox last year and recently started a new streaming service, Disney Plus, that attracted a lot of attention when it aired Hamilton. Abraham Ravid teaches finance at Yeshiva University. He says Disney's diversified enough to hold on, even if the pandemic lasts for a while.
If they could go back to normal, so to speak, by the end of the year, they should be okay. They'll have losses, but they should be able to withstand it.
One key for the future, he says, is for the company to keep adding subscribers to Disney+. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 3 to 9 tenths% range, with the Dow future up 65 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 0.548%. HSBC is Europe's biggest bank, and it says its net profit fell 96% in the second quarter. HSBC is based in London but has most of its business in Asia. And the pandemic has claimed yet another iconic U.S. business, Lord & Taylor. The luxury department store chain filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy on Sunday. It was founded in 1826. It's the U.S.'s oldest department store. Only just last year, it was bought by a French fashion rental subscription company called Le Tote. Lord & Taylor's 38 stores closed in March temporarily, it was thought at the time. Some will reopen for going out of business sales.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
When the economy sank into this pandemic recession, some activists around climate change and other issues braced themselves for investors to abandon investing based on social goals. That's known as ESG investing, environmental social governance. Turns out social impact investing is alive and well. Marketplace's senior economics contributor is Chris Farrell. Good morning, Chris.
How are you doing?
So investors are still investing based on social or environmental causes, even during a pandemic, huh?
You know, that's one of the results that comes from this pandemic-inspired study by two economists, and they look at a number of things. But what I focused on is they found that mutual funds with high ESG ratings, and that's that, you know, environmental, social governance, have performed particularly well against various benchmarks during the pandemic. And so the results were particularly strong for those funds that have an environmental focus.
Why have investors continued to be so bullish on green assets or green products during the crisis?
I mean, one, the evidence has just been compelling over the past couple of years. Look, there's little return difference between investing for money and investing for money and values. But the scholars also offer this striking conclusion. So a lot of the critical commentary aimed at ESG investing in recent years, you know, has been this belief that it's a luxury good, right? And people typically cut back on luxury goods when times are tough. Well, the economists conclude that since investors have not only stuck with but embraced sustainable investing during the major crisis, suggest that, and I quote, they view sustainability as a necessity rather than a luxury good.
Something not nice to have, but need to have.
That's right. And there's something else maybe at work. Now, there's this survey, and of course, you always have to be wary of surveys, but it's by the DeVere Group, which is an independent financial advisory firm. And they found that more than half of the people they surveyed consider sustainable and responsible investments as safe havens, which in a way makes sense because companies with strong records on employee relations, environmental sustainability, corporate governance, I mean, they tend to do well over the long haul.
Marketplace senior economics contributor Chris Farrell, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.